You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In today's segment of Surrounded by History, we will explore the history, the stories behind one of our local landmarks. Today, we are going to take a little road trip to the Red Jacket Valley, a Blue Earth County landmark, which is the Red Jacket Railroad Trestle Bridge over the Le Sueur River and Highway 66 south of Mankato. Today, we know this landmark as a walking and biking trail, but did you know its story starts with a flour mill? Let's be surrounded by history. No other county in the state of Minnesota has as many rivers as Blue Earth. Of these rivers, the Blue Earth, the Watonwan, and the Le Sueur rivers were well adapted for the development of water power. Settlers saw the opportunity and began building sawmills and grist or flour mills on the riverbanks. We learned about this back in a previous podcast when we talked about Rapidan and Rapidan Dam.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that the town used to be called Rapidan Rapids.
Woohoo! Nice job!
Thank you.
In 1866, a flour mill was built on the banks of the Le Sueur River near the junction of the Le Sueur and Blue Earth Rivers, which is near today's Blue Earth County Road, Highway 90, which is south of South Bend or south of La Hillier. So the Red Jacket Mill opened for business in October of 1866. The water was let in and the machinery started. The first grist, which is the word for grain that is to be ground into make flour, was brought to the mill by a team of oxen down a long ravine leading to the present site of the Red Jacket Bridge. The mill could turn out about 2 barrels of flour per hour. The mill became quite successful and soon the area took on an identity of its own. The valley, which was once known as the Le Sueur River Valley, soon became known as Red Jacket.
And all because it was the Red Jacket Mill.
Exactly.
Because I've asked this before, there's so many people, like, why? Mm-hmm. And now it comes together, except for now we don't know why it's called Red Jacket Mill.
Mm.
Or do we find out?
Okay. I don't know. All right. That might be a night. That might be from the, for our future.
Oh. You don't know either.
The Red Jacket Mill quickly became a lively wheat market. The flour produced was sold locally as well as exported. The mill proprietor soon opened an agency at a general store in Mankato. The flour was bagged in neatly printed sacks in amounts of 25 to 100 pounds. Red Jacket flour was marketed in Chicago and as far away as Massachusetts.
Wow.
Three or four teams were constantly employed hauling flour to Owatonna, which was then the nearest railroad for shipment to the east. By 1868, the railroad reached Mankato, and the first freight shipped out consisted of 200 barrels of that Red Jacket flour. Oh, so the arrival of the railroads to Blue Earth County was another one of our previous podcasts.
I always love how these things layer on top of each other and you can kind of piece together different timelines, but they're storylines, but they all like, you know, this happened, well, this was happening. These people were doing this, well, these people were doing that.
I love history. I don't know if anybody knows that.
It's part of the whole thing here, yeah.
As time passed, the days of rural water-powered flour mills were fading away. It was becoming increasingly expensive to keep up with the technological advances and difficult to compete with larger companies, such as the Mankato Mill Company, which later became known as Hubbard Milling Company, and that began in 1978.
1878.
Oh, yeah, 1878. That's another podcast, too.
Yes, it is.
On December 31st, 1880, fire destroyed the Red Jacket Mill, one of the most notable mills in Blue Earth County. After the fire, the mill was never rebuilt, but its name continues today. So the next chapter of this story is the railroad that not only supported the mill early on, but also has a longer history than the mill. In the summer of 1868, Congress passed a new route bill allowing for a mail route to extend from Mankato to Good Thunder, through Mapleton to Minnesota Lake. The Southern Minnesota Rail Line had reached Wells by the summer of 1869, but financial problems delayed construction at times. So by the summer of 1870, surveyors were busy on the next segment from the Maple River to the Red Jacket Mill. They were looking for the easiest grade in the vicinity of the Le Sueur River. It's quite a valley down there, if you're familiar.
Yeah.
There was some consideration of a possible tunnel, but a route down the Red Jacket Ravine was finally decided upon. By early autumn, there were about 20 miles had been graded between Wells and the head of the ravine, and there were 400 men working on the stretch. The contract had been awarded for the construction of the long trestle that would carry the railroad across the Le Sueur River at the Red Jacket Mill. Stone was being hauled for the piers and the culverts in the ravine. Construction was halted due to financial and legal disputes that resulted in the change of ownership, with the name being changed to Central Railroad. It wasn't until the summer of 1874, so it took four more years, for work to finally begin. By the end of June, enough iron had been brought in to lay the tracks as far as Good Thunder, and more supplies were arriving daily. By August 4th, the track reached the Le Sueur River. There were 10 trestles built within the section of line between Mankato and Good Thunder. The Red Jacket Trestle and Railroad Bridge, being the longest, was completed in September 1874. The Le Sueur River is crossed by a Howe Truss Railroad Bridge, which is 183 feet long, constructed of wood, except for the tie rods, the bolts, etc., and is supported by two massive stone piers. The top of the railway bridge was 53¾ feet above the water, and the trestle connecting the bridge with the bluff was 618 feet long. Its highest point was 59 feet above the ground.
Wow.
The track finally reached Good Thunder on September 24th, 1874, and a daily train each way between Mankato and Good Thunder was put into operation. The construction to complete the line to the southeast beyond the Maple River proceeded rapidly and was fully completed by November. On November 10th, 1874, members of the Mankato City Council, the township officials, officials of the railroad, all enjoyed an excursion from Mankato to Wells. The long-awaited southern connection was finally a reality, and this opened the third rail line in Blue Earth County.
Very cool.
By 1880, the Central Rail Line had some big problems, had been officially transferred to the Chicago, Milwaukee, and St. Paul line.
The train lines really do change a lot of names.
They
do. I'm sure there's a lot of everything, corruption and everything else behind those stories. Oh, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, there was some interest. That's a very interesting history about the railroads. Through the 1900s, the early 1900s, the trestle was mostly ignored. Considered a symbol of the past, people were much more excited about the concrete road bridge built across the river parallel to the trestle in 1911. The first of its kind bridge in the state was considered an engineering marvel, featuring massive spans of concrete and a wide roadbed. In fact, it is so colorful that I would love for us to share an excerpt of the Mankato Free Press from August 22nd, 1911.
Oh, I like this. All right. Bridge is a beauty. Given grand opening. Celebration yesterday at Red Jacket, great success. The new bridge at Red Jacket, the best by far that has yet been constructed in the county, if not in southwestern Minnesota, was given an appropriate send-off yesterday by several hundred people gathered in a beautiful piece of woodland near one end of it. Probably 500 to 700 people were gathered beneath the shade of the beautiful hard maples and butternuts in Frank Pearson's pasture, where a dinner such as a mother used to prepare was served by the ladies of the surrounding county. The beautiful structure with its grace, arches, and picturesque, what's that word?
Balustrades.
Balustrades?
Woo-hoo. Fancy architecture words.
I'm glad I asked you what that word was. I had no clue. The picturesque balustrades was admired by all. The bridge opens a new road direct to Good Thunder and all the territory, saving fully a mile over any other route. The bridge also makes a new and more direct road to the Rapidan Dam. The new bridge was built by J.B. Marsh Engineering Company of Des Moines, Iowa, at a contract price of $13,200. Woo!
Yeah, wouldn't you if we had those prices today?
Yeah, no kidding. That is such a cool just excerpt of how they describe the party. Once again, we've talked about this so many times. The way they described events
exactly
in
but
writing
can
was
you
so
imagine?
Amazing.
500 to 700 people coming out to see the brand new bridge.
Right, and I feel like there should have been that many for the train trestle on the count that the trestle. You have a photo here. I'm going to put this on my Facebook page as well. It is such a cool photo. And the trestle bridge is such an amazing marvel behind it.
Yes.
But this bridge is a bigger deal than that.
It is.
Here, let me give you a description. This is also in the article, the description of the bridge. The bridge is 276 feet long, 16 feet wide in the clear, and has three arches, each 71 feet long in the center. And the bottom of the arches stand 18 feet above a low water mark and 5 or 6 feet above the highest point that the river has ever been known to have reached, within the memory of the oldest inhabitants. I like how they have to make sure we understand how long
the context,
our memory might go.
The context.
Yeah. The bridge looks low in comparison with the immensely high railway bridge beside it, but the latter had to be high in order to conform with the grade of the road. It by itself, the wagon bridge, would look as high as any other bridge. In the construction of the bridge, about 1,400 yards of concrete were used, and J.B. Marsh, who was present yesterday at the picnic, stated to the Free Press that the bridge would hold up to 200 pounds to the square foot, or a double row of 20-ton threshing engines extending across the bridge without straining it.
That's a lot.
It does seem like a lot. Yet one farmer, before assuming the risk of driving across the bridge yesterday, got out and walked ahead and tested the structure with his weight to see if it was safe. Oh, my gosh. A photograph was taken. When the afternoon passenger train for the south came by, it stopped on the bridge for about 5 minutes, and the picketers were all asked to assemble on the wagon bridge, and photographs of the two bridges were taken by J.R. Snow.
Yes.
This is such a cool photo.
And it's a very famous photo. If anybody has ever seen a historic photo of the Red Jacket, this is the photo, but we'll definitely make sure that we get it up online so that you can see it if you haven't.
It is so cool. So again, how they describe things in the early, was this 18? No, this is 1911. So the way they, well, even in the 1800s,
but
so
we're there.
Cool.
But they describe it so much that we're there.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Which is what I love.
Yeah,
which
I completely agree.
Love.
And it's so, again, it's such a marvel for them to have this concrete bridge. It only cost them $13,000.
So this is right about this. So 1911 is when this bridge is built, and the Rapidan Dam is 1910 is when it is opened.
Okay,
and think
so
of all the concrete.
Yeah,
all the concrete with that. So, I mean, the idea of building with concrete was a really new concept
at
this time.
And we learned that, too, just in the previous part of this, with the they had to build stone pillars for the railway bridge.
Yep.
And so, I mean, that was built earlier, obviously, but they still had to use stone pillars there,
mm-hmm.
which are still standing side by side with this.
Exactly. So this bridge, this marvel of engineering, was really only a single lane bridge. And unfortunately, we heard in the news report about how high it was off of the water, and it wasn't high enough. Let's just put it that way. In May of 1960, heavy rains and flooding caused damage to roads, farms, and homes. Water poured under the single lane concrete Red Jacket Bridge before the pileup of trees and other debris forced it to collapse in the center.
Oh, no.
The bridge was closed all summer while repairs were made, and the bridge was widened to a 24-foot span, and the bridge finally reopened to traffic later that year. However, in 1987, the Minnesota Department of Transportation announced a plan to upgrade and realign Highway 66 and to replace the Red Jacket Bridge with a new bridge. At the west end of the old bridge, the road turned sharply southward, and it required traffic to slow down to 15 miles an hour. The plan was to straighten this curve for safety and better traffic flow. Construction of the new bridge didn't begin until the summer of 1995. The old-fashioned trestle, though, stood tall and strong until it was damaged during fall flooding in 2010. The Red Jacket Trail Trestle Bridge was dismantled, then later put back together after the damaged stone piers were repaired.
So it was all taken down and put back together, though?
Yes, because they had to replace the, they had to fix all of the stone piers.
And I would understand, especially after so many years.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it had been damaged in the flooding.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's still standing today. And yeah. And that's going to be its next story. So maybe we should take a little break. And
okay.
Then we're going to talk about the next chapter.
Which is the trail being constructed across,
exactly.
I bet.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, exactly.
All right. We'll be right back with more with Surrounded by History. Back on Surrounded by History with Jessica Potter and myself, Jeff Lang, learning more about the Red Jacket Railroad Trestle Bridge, the road in front of it, and now the trail that goes over that trestle bridge, Jessica.
Yes. So going back to it being a railroad line, as time marched on, the automobile became increasingly prevalent and trains became less important. Passenger service decreased until it was finally abandoned in the early 1960s. Freight service also decreased substantially. By 1978, the Milwaukee Railroad had abandoned 30 miles of track between Mankato and Minnesota Lake, just slightly over 100 years since it had opened.
Wow, that's right.
At this time, interest developed around the idea of a hiking and biking trail from Mankato to Rapidan on land that was abandoned by the Milwaukee Railroad. As interest in developing the trail by the Red Jacket Trestle lagged, landowners, many opposed to the trail, bought up the land, almost stopping the idea in its tracks. Pun intended, yeah. Within the limits of Mankato, however, a private group working with the city of Mankato purchased the center 30 feet of the abandoned Milwaukee Railroad right-of-way. A trail was developed from West High School to the southern city limits. This trail was included in the Mankato Park System. So time goes by. In 1991, the Red Jacket Trail Task Force, organized by a group of citizens, approached Blue Earth County with a proposal to develop the rest of the trail from Mankato city limits to Rapidan. The group felt that with time, opposing views had moderated, other recreational trails had already been established, and their success, along with the emerging conservation and historic preservation values of the time, favored the project. The former railroad bed could be acquired agreeably from the 24 landowners, and the trail could be developed. The group would acquire the right-of-way, develop the trail, then turn it over to the county park system, very similar to what they did at Williams Nature Center. Blue Earth County agreed to sponsor grant applications and to accept the Red Jacket Trail once completed. Adjacent landowners donated about one-third of the right-of-way, and one-third was purchased from willing sellers, but one-third refused to sell. After significant controversy, the county board elected to proceed with right-of-way acquisition using its eminent domain authority. So very controversial.
Oh, yeah. That would get people fired up today for sure.
Uh-huh. Delayed by controversy and litigation, the trail fundraisers were feeling the pressure of approaching deadlines. But in August of 1993, help came in the form of a $135,000 federal grant, assuring completion of a gravel-based trail. Construction could not begin, however, until all of that land litigation was completed. In early 1995, after extensive negotiations, development of the 5.6-mile trail was legally free to begin work, and a second federal grant made blacktopping the trail possible. The impassable, overgrown portions of the trail were cleared, steps rising from a park area to the trestle were built, and the trail bed prepared and surfaced. A great number of volunteers, industries, businesses all assisted in its completion.
I got to tell you, I thought this was true. I mean, I knew the train bridge has probably been, you know, there for a long time. But I just assumed the trail came along shortly thereafter.
Nope.
So the fact that that's only in itself 30-some years old is crazy to think
it
about.
It is. And actually, the Red Jacket Trail Task Force finally turned over the trail to the county in 1997.
Wow, okay.
The group provided overall management and fundraising for the project. The county assisted in acquiring right-of-way and sponsored those federal transportation grant applications. The county highway department provided labor and equipment when available. The project represents a unique partnership of private, county, state, and federal efforts. Today, the Red Jacket Trail begins at the restored depot along the banks of the Minnesota River in downtown Mankato and runs to the village of Rapidan. It's 6.3 miles one way. The popular Red Jacket Trail utilizes three converted railroad trestles, including the stunning Red Jacket Trestle, which is more than 80 feet high and 550 feet long and traverses the Le Sueur River and the busy Minnesota Highway 66 near the trail's southern end. So we hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored Blue Earth County's local landmark, the Red Jacket Trestle and the Red Jacket Trail. We encourage you to be tourists in your own backyard. Check this out and the new Red Jacket Valley Park, which is a 147-acre scenic area designed for hiking, canoeing, and kayaking, swimming, picnicking, all located at the former Guaranteed Sand and Gravel Pit. This is the newest park in Blue Earth County's park system, being acquired in 2016. This new park is just across the road from the Red Jacket Trestle. The information we share today comes from resources available at the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society and the Blue Earth County Parks Department. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.